Welcome to Creatures of Statute, a podcast of the County Supervisors Association, where we explore the policies and partnerships that shape Arizona's counties and their service to local residents. I'm Craig Sullivan, and today we're diving into a big issue for Maricopa County: how it funds public safety and detention services and the future of the county's jail excise tax. And to do that, I'm very pleased to be joined by Danny DeHoag, Director of the Public Safety Funding Committee. Danny, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Craig. Glad to be here.
Now, Danny, you and I recently participated in a panel discussion at a criminal justice symposium. We were invited to brief the group on how counties fund the criminal justice system, and especially they were interested in the dedicated revenue tools available under state law. And as you know, we highlighted the two important authorities that are currently on the books. Number one, the jail district excise tax. This is a special district available to 14 counties, but not to Maricopa. It funds jail construction and operation and requires voter approval. Second, the jail facilities excise tax. Unique to Maricopa, this also requires voter approval, but it's not a special district construct. So for our listeners, we put in the show notes a link to CSA's document that summarizes these authorities, along with a map to see where they're used. And you'll see some differences between the two structures. But the big difference is this: if a jail district tax expires, the Board of Supervisors can choose to ask the voters to extend it. Coconino County did this successfully in 2022. But when Maricopa's jail excise tax sunsets, the county has to go back to the legislature to get authorization to refer it to the voters again.
Exactly. Maricopa County's current jail facilities excise tax sunsets in 2027. So over the past 2 years, the county launched a public process to evaluate future funding. I was honored to serve as the director supporting that committee. It was a lot of work, and I learned a lot. In the end, the committee's work helped inform lawmakers, who overwhelmingly approved letting the county refer that tax extension to the voters in the general election of 2026.
So to better understand this, Danny, let's start with some history. Walk us through the origins of the jail excise tax and why it was created.
Sure, I'm happy to. So in the late 1990s, Maricopa County was experiencing rapid growth, and it was challenged by a shortage of detention space. Because of this, the county formed what they called a Citizens Advisory Committee on Jail Planning. That committee was tasked with reviewing potential funding methods, including raising property taxes, issuing bonds, or establishing a dedicated sales tax. The committee ultimately decided that critical public safety programs cannot be equitably or prudently funded by a property tax alone, so they recommended that the county pursue an excise or sales tax instead.
So I can see that, because Maricopa County's basic finance structure is heavily dependent on the property tax. They do receive state-shared sales taxes, but they don't have a local excise tax. So I can understand why it would make sense to diversify the revenue streams.
Correct. So the county went to the legislature to get authorization, and in 1998, voters overwhelmingly approved a 1/5 of 1 cent excise tax on purchases in Maricopa County. This created the detention fund. So by law, the detention fund can only be used for a few purposes. It can be used to finance construction of new jail facilities, maintenance and operation of existing facilities, or to implement programs designed to reduce the expense of adult or juvenile jail facilities. Voters also voted to extend that tax in 2002, and now we're set to expire in March of 2027.
So to evaluate the potential reauthorization, the county put together the Public Safety Funding Committee and tapped you to staff it. How were its members selected?
So members were appointed by the Board of Supervisors, the county attorney, the sheriff, and the presiding judge of the Superior Court. This mirrored the structure used in the 90s for the original committee. Committee members came from diverse backgrounds. We had members representing public safety, correctional health, criminal justice, economic development, nonprofit, and the business sector.
So you brought these expert stakeholders together. What was the process to support the committee's deliberations?
So the committee held 12 public meetings. They also did 2 public outreach webinars and toured facilities, including doing probation ride-alongs. All these experiences helped the committee members understand the detention system as a whole and the operational realities within the system. They also heard from agencies that use the detention fund, and they worked with consultants who researched the current uses and future needs of the system. All these meetings were open to the public, and they're also all available online with the presentations and reports on the committee's website.
So let's explore revenues and expenditures a little bit. Explain the main sources of revenue for the detention fund.
Sure. So the largest source of revenue is the jail facilities excise tax. It makes up about 52% of our detention fund. The second largest source is the maintenance of effort transfer from the general fund. Arizona law requires the county to maintain its support of adult and juvenile facilities through this maintenance of effort transfer. The amount increases each year, and in fiscal year 2025, it made up about 43% of the detention fund.
So you mentioned the maintenance of effort. That's a feature that ensures that new revenues supplement and don't supplant existing spending on the function.
Exactly.
So the fiscal year 2025 budget's over $586 million. How's that money allocated?
So the funds are used throughout our criminal justice system, but I'll talk about the four main users of the detention fund. The sheriff's office accounts for almost half of the detention fund budget. Correctional Health Services receives about 15% of the detention fund, and it's almost entirely funded by this revenue source. Adult probation receives 9% of the detention fund, and juvenile probation receives 7%.
The committee brought in a consultant to review the detention fund. What did the consultant say about mandated and non-mandated expenses?
Well, as you know, Craig, in Arizona, counties operate under a wide variety of mandates, especially when it comes to public safety. In the consultant's research, they identified various mandates coming from the U.S. Constitution, the Arizona Constitution, federal and state laws, court orders, and court rules. They reviewed all of the expenses in fiscal year 23, and they found that more than 99% of the detention fund expenditures were on mandated or administrative mandates, meaning less than 1% of the expenses are on non-mandated programs. So to give you an example of what that means, one of the non-mandated programs they found is a program in our juvenile probation department. It provides career and technical education and awareness as part of a juvenile's education program.
Let's move to the infrastructure needs. What did the jail master plan reveal about future bed space?
Sure. Let's start with what a jail master plan is. The plan is a long-term planning document that evaluates the needs of Maricopa County detention facilities for the next 15 years. The plan includes some population projections and estimated a bed space need of 10,721 beds in the jail system by 2039. This indicates a projected shortage of 3,661 beds based on current standards. So in order to meet these needs, the plan suggested building a new women's jail to replace the Estrella Jail, which was built in 1991, and also a new men's jail to replace the Towers Jail, which was built in 1982, so the county's two oldest jails. It also recommended building one new men's facility, depending on the actual capacity needs.
What other infrastructure upgrades are being considered?
So there's a few. Some of them are a work release facility, centralized support services, improvements to our intake, transfer, and release facility and parking facility, and also maintenance of our existing jails. The consultants estimated the cost for the entirety of the plan over 15 years would range between $1.6 to $2 billion.
So Danny, ultimately, the committee made two sets of recommendations, one on funding and another that includes a lengthy list of policy recommendations. Walk us through those recommendations.
Sure. So the committee had a lot of discussion about policy recommendations if the tax were to be continued, and they kind of came down to four major categories. So reentry and community services, programming in courts, capital needs, and lastly, data and long-term initiatives.
What about the funding recommendation?
This recommendation is a much shorter document, but it's critical in order to implement any of the policy recommendations that the committee outlined. The committee voted unanimously to recommend that the Board of Supervisors pursue a 20-year extension of the jail excise tax at its current rate of 1/5 of 1 cent. So for context, that equates to about 20 cents on a $100 purchase. Late last year, the Board of Supervisors unanimously adopted both sets of the committee's recommendations.
I also saw the committee proposed forming a Citizens Oversight Committee. I guess that's intended to monitor the fund usage and implementation of policy recommendations. Is that right?
Yeah, the committee thought it was important to promote transparency and continue to keep an eye on how the money is used going forward.
So, Danny, the committee wrapped up its work, but there was still a lot more that had to be done. The county still had to take the conversation to the legislature. And this past session, I saw Chairman Galvin, County Attorney Mitchell, Sheriff Sheridan, all down at the Capitol working with state lawmakers to support the extension.
That's right. The chairman, county attorney, and sheriff were front and center. However, many of the Maricopa County supervisors and leaders, along with business leaders and other stakeholders, were involved in supporting the effort throughout the process. The legislature passed Senate Bill 1144, allowing the county to place the extension on the ballot. And we are really grateful for the leadership of our bill sponsor, Senator Payne, and the many members who voted for it, as well as to Governor Hobbs for signing it into law.
And the support among legislators was pretty significant. There were supermajority votes in both houses supporting it, isn't that right?
That's correct.
All right, Danny, so what happens next?
Well, the bill allows the county board to take an action to put this extension on the ballot in November of 2026.
And what happens if the voters don't approve the extension?
Well, what the committee found is that the detention fund is used almost exclusively on mandated services. So that means that without it, there'd be a nearly $300 million gap in public safety funding for the county. So the options would be limited to raising property taxes, cutting services, or a combination of the two.
That makes this a really big policy item for the public to consider. How can folks learn more about the issue?
So people can visit the committee website, maricopa.gov/public safety funding. We have all sorts of reports and materials, as well as recording of all the meetings and outreach webinars.
Danny, thank you so much for joining us and helping us understand the issue. And kudos to you for the great work you did supporting the committee.
Thanks, Craig. It's been a pleasure.
A special thanks to Zoe Averill, CSA's budget and research analyst, for producing the podcast. And thank you to our listeners. If you want to learn more about CSA's work, please check us out at countysupervisors.org. Until next time, thank you for joining us on Creatures of Statute.